I mentioned a little earlier that our 8th and 9th grade students are here, many of them, with our grade Shabbat dinner beforehand. Usually with a grade Shabbat dinner in our younger grades, we have the students coming up and participating in reading parts of the prayers, leading sections of the service, so they get used to being on the Bema. For these 8th and 9th graders, they've already been here on the Bema with me and led our congregation in worship. So tonight, instead of helping lead the service, I'm going to crowdsource, not crowdsurf. We learned that was different. Crowdsource with them and with you all for the sermon, and I'll say more about that all in just a moment. Our Torah portion this week is called Chaye Sarah, and tomorrow morning, a different Sarah is going to be teaching us all about that. She's going to read a part of the portion that comes a little later on in the Torah verses and teach us an important lesson from that. Tonight, though, I want to focus at the very beginning of the portion. Chaye Sarah, the name of the Torah portion, literally means the life of Sarah. But the portion begins with her death, because the opening words, Vayehu chaye Sarah, mea shana ve'esrim shana ve'sheva shanim, translates, roughly speaking, as Sarah lived to be 127 years old, and then she dies, right? The literal translation, though, is interesting. It literally says, these are the years of Sarah, 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. Now, there is a way in Hebrew to say 127, but that's not what the Torah says. 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. And our sages of old noticed the odd structure here, right? And they give several different explanations in Midrash and interpretations as to why that might be. We'll study all of those another time. But the one in particular I want to lift up tonight that I particularly like is that it's a way to emphasize that each period of Sarah's life was a little bit different. Each year in her life was different or important. She had different experiences. She'd learned different things from life in different times. Each one of them had a different lesson that Sarah lived in her lifetime. Now, a little later on in the portion, after Sarah's death, Abraham purchases a plot of land for her burial. And then Abraham starts thinking about the future. And his son Isaac, it's time to have him start the next generation of the family. So Abraham sends his servant off to find a wife for Isaac, and that's where Sarah's going to pick up in our teaching tomorrow morning. But this focus at this point in the Torah portion changes from Abraham and Sarah to the next generation. And helps us start to think about, how do we plan for what comes after us, right? How do we make sure that what we are leaving for the next generation will help them succeed? So there's a custom in Judaism and in the secular world as well of something called an ethical will. Anybody ever heard of an ethical will? Anybody have an ethical will? I had a feeling you might, Jerry. Way to go, right? An ethical will is not how your physical possessions get dispersed, who gets the car, who gets the house, who gets the paintings, who gets whatever, right? It's not the material wealth that gets distributed, but rather your values or the advice. We actually see an example of the first one of these later on at the end of the book of Genesis when Jacob blesses each one of his sons. It's a way of passing on values and beliefs and wishes and advice. It's part of the mainstream Jewish society, mainstream non-Jewish society as well, but we actually have examples dating back even to the Middle Ages of ethical wills from the Jewish community. Let's put one up on the screen right now. I'll read it to you quickly. Judah ibn Tibbon, a 12th century Jewish Spanish intellectual, wrote, "My son, when I have left you, devote yourself to the study of Torah," well, that's good, "and the study of medicine. Son, be a doctor. Occupy yourself with Torah. You have a wise and understanding heart, and all you need is ambition and application. Let your face shine on people. Tend their sick, and may your advice cure them. Take money from the rich, but treat the poor without money. The Lord will repay you. In this way, you will win the respect of people high and low, and your good name will go forth far and wide. My son, I command you to honor your wife as much as you can. She is intelligent and modest, the daughter of a distinguished and educated family. To act otherwise is the way of the contemptible. Never refuse to lend books to anyone who has not the means to purchase books for himself, but act only thus to those who can be trusted to return the volumes. Cover the bookcases with rugs of fine quality and preserve them from damp and from mice, for your books are your greatest treasures. Do you see the values, though, that Judah ibn Tibbon wanted to pass on, as well as some of the practical advice that he gave? Second slide. This from Eliezer of Mayence, a 14th century German Jew. If they can manage it, my sons and daughters should live in communities and not isolated from other Jews, so that their sons and daughters can learn the ways of Judaism. Even if compelled to request money from others in order to pay for a teacher, they must not let the young of either sex go without instruction in Torah. Marry your children, my sons and daughters, as soon as their age is ripe to members of respectable families. To the slanderer, do not respond with counterattack. And though it is proper to rebut false accusations, it is most desirable to set an example of reticence. You yourself must avoid uttering any slander, for so you will win affection. In trade, be true, never grasping what belongs to another. By avoiding such wrong, scandal, falsehood, money grubbing, people will surely find tranquility and affection. Be very particular to keep your houses clean and tidy. I was always scrupulous on that point, for every injurious condition in sickness and poverty are to be found in foul dwellings. Again, do you see the values that are embedded there, as well as the practical advice? So here, third slide, is our questions for this evening. If you were crafting an ethical will, what three core values would you want to emphasize? And what pieces of advice would you pass along? There are no right or wrong answers, but just curious to see this crowdsourcing. This is where you all and our eighth and ninth graders, if you'll come and join me up here, please, are gonna come into play. All right. Do you all remember what group numbers you were? 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Okay, watch carefully. That side, all the way over there, on the far section over there, is going to be group number 5. Who's team number 5? You guys head on over to them. There's a pen on the clipboard. Okay? Everybody from Paul forward in this quadrant, Paul forward, including Matt, we're gonna divide you on this side right there. You guys are gonna be number 4. So group number 4, fellas, that was one of you guys, are gonna go over and help group number 4 right over here. Behind Paul in the back over there is group number 3. Who is group number 3? That's you guys are gonna go back over there. And then on this side here, we're gonna divide the Abel family forward here, and this section right here is going to be group number 2. And then from the Cohens on back is going to be group number 1. So guys, if you go back to them. You don't remember who was 2 and who was 1. That's okay. Yes, that's right. Lane and Rachel are going to go back there from the Cones backwards. All right. These fine 8th and 9th graders are going to help facilitate a 3-minute, maybe 4-minute conversation with your group. You need to answer these questions, which they also have on their clipboards, and they will write down the answers. But you need to answer for them, brainstorm with them. What 3 core values would you want to emphasize? And what any other pieces of advice you would pass along if you were crafting an ethical will. So, with your group leaders, I'll give you 4 minutes to answer these questions. Everybody understand what we're doing? Ready? Get set. Go. One minute left to finish crowdsourcing. What 3 core values and any other pieces of advice? One more minute to finish crowdsourcing a sermon. All right, 8th and 9th graders, take one last piece of advice and then come stand down front here with us, with your group. We'll see what we have crowdsourced as a, so if you are done, when you are done, come stand, group 1, group 2, group 3, group 4, group 5, so that we can hear a little bit of What three core values would we want to pass along, and any other pieces of advice? All right, group one, you want to report out from what it was that you heard from your group?
So our three core values, we actually couldn't decide on three, so we have four. Justice, kindness, respect, and accountability. And then our pieces of advice were study and always learn, listen more than talk, be willing to see from other perspectives, don't take things too seriously, do a job that isn't just sitting on a computer, and remember that everyone is equal.
Very nice. Thank you, group one. Group two, three core values and pieces of advice. An overachieving congregation.
Work to live, not live to work. Listen more, be honest, and be generous with your time and love.
And other pieces of advice?
Find a good Jewish community and get a cute pet. Pass along family history, and I can't say the last one.
All right. Group three.
Empathy, kindness, helpfulness, Jewish traditions, and tzedakah. For peace and advice, we had love, respect, kindness, listening, forgiveness, finding something to laugh about, and
civic duty. Right. Group four.
We actually had a really good discussion set. We got family, study, Judaism. And then some of the lessons, the pieces of advice were save your money, be kind, be karam.
Fairness. Be a good listener,
be a good
and find your goodness in everyone.
Very nice. And group five.
They got along because everybody was really paying attention.
Oh, Eve, take one step forward. Awesome. Okay, eighth and ninth graders, thank you for helping us crowdsource a sermon. One of the best sermons I ever gave. Fantastic, right? Eighth and ninth graders, if you'll hand and let's put a stack of the clipboards over here. Let's appreciate our eighth and ninth graders for their help in facilitating. Put your thing, and you can go on back to your seats. I'll take that, thanks. We heard a number of good pieces of advice, didn't we? A number of values. The notion of an ethical will, right? From what we've learned in our lives and how we pass that on to others. Sarah's years were each important in teaching her a different lesson. Abe was looking out for the future. We've heard and seen suggestions that we might want to include in writing our own ethical wills. And hopefully from our crowdsourced sermon tonight, we know the responsibility we have to be thinking about our lives. How would we evaluate? How would we live our lives in such a way that these would be the values we would want to pass on? In the words of our sage Bachya ibn Pakuda, who said, scrolls are like days. Sorry, days are like scrolls, that's what he said, because you should write on them what you want remembered. We hope and pray that we live our lives by these values in such a way that they are worthy of being remembered and passing on to the next generation as well. Can you hear us? May this be God's will. And together we say, Amen.